Item 5A, our delegations. The Garden Hill Neighborhood Group, Garden Hill Proposed Block 102. I welcome you. Please come to the center desk. We'll ensure that the microphone's on and the floor is yours. In order to make that legal, I will read a resolution that the... Okay, I suggest I can do that afterwards, so please continue.
Okay, thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Happy New Year. My name is Glenn Deeth, and I live at 3985 Frost Avenue in Garden Hill. I'm here today to talk about the proposed development at 3852 Ganaraska Road, and in particular, the access location to the proposed apartment block of 102. I'll summarize my presentation and hope that you will be provided a copy for your reference. If you have any questions at the end, I'd be happy to answer them. Frost Avenue is currently the proposed access location. Sorry.
Glenn, if I could just get you, get that microphone a little bit closer, it may be to everyone's advantage.
Sorry.
Thank you.
So Frost Avenue is currently the proposed access location for this site. I'll present you both technical and personal information as to why access should not be granted from Frost Avenue, why the approved conditions of draft plan approval cannot be met, and other options for access and their advantages, and request your support. To provide you with my background and experience, as seen on this slide, I have extensive experience in municipal engineering, working in road design and construction for 35 years, both on capital projects as well as detailed review and approval of subdivisions and site plans. This includes on-site oversight, providing inspection and quality assurance of infrastructure projects, and project management. In engineering, the principle of do no harm emphasizes the obligation to avoid causing harm to individuals, society, or the environment. This principle is rooted in non-maleficence, which guides engineers to design solutions to prioritize safety and well-being throughout the life cycle of a project. Engineers must conduct thorough risk assessments and ensure that their designs do not endanger users or the environment, thereby enhancing sustainability and public trust in engineering practices. So why is Frost Avenue not a good access location for the apartment site? Constructing a road entirely within one half of the right-of-way is not an accepted engineering practice. It is not fair to property owners, and it creates a host of negative issues. Loss of privacy, light pollution. Lighting will now wrap around my entire property, extending lighting from Caldwell Court westerly for an extension of the road, a cul-de-sac, and a proposed parking lot for the building. Existing mature trees on private property will require removal due to grade changes, including 100-foot tall Scotch pine, two maple trees, a buckthorn, and cedar trees. Many mature trees within the right-of-way and within the buffer zone for the creek will also require removal. Having a road 2 feet from property line will negatively impact my property value. This slide is the site plan for Block 102. The developer has not provided any updates at this point indicating how a cul-de-sac will be incorporated. But you can see at the property boundary of the building comes in, this isn't showing up on there, sorry, very well. But basically to the center of the right-of-way as well as the watershed buffer for the creek comes to that point at the west limit of Frost Avenue. And you can see a rough idea of how they want to squeeze a road through that narrow opening on the south half of the right-of-way, an 8.5 meter road within a 10 meter opening. On the east side of the site is my house at 3985 Frost Avenue. The historic Presbyterian Church, constructed in 1880, facing Ganaraska Road. To the north and west is the existing South Creek, and to the south is Ganaraska Road. What the previous slide did not show was the real impacts. This is an overhead view showing the substantial existing tree cover at the west limit of Frost Avenue, mature trees within the right-of-way and on private property. These photos I took at the northwest corner of my property, you can get a better appreciation of the size of some of the trees and their proximity to the property line, as well as the grade change going down into the development site by looking at the angle of the fence. This photo is looking westerly on Frost Avenue. Again, you get a better sense of the large number of trees which will be lost if access is permitted from Frost Avenue. The conditions of draft plan approval were derived from meetings and agreement between the parties, the developer and the approval authorities. These are the conditions that were approved by the Ontario Land Tribunal. Condition 45 states that they agree in order to extend Frost Avenue into the site that the 15-meter buffer zone will overlap the north half of the public right-of-way, with a curb and gutter road will be constructed outside of the buffer zone, curb and gutter because there is no room for ditches, and they will add a wider buffer north of the creek, mainly because that doesn't impact their proposal. Condition 49 states that they agree that should grade changes be required to accommodate development of a lot or a block adjacent to a natural hazard area, that any grade changes must be accommodated outside of the buffer block, and that lot lines must be adjusted accordingly. The wording of this condition is very important. Let me say that again. Any grade changes must be accommodated outside of the buffer block. To provide you with some technical issues or background on this, grading at the west limit of Frost Avenue drops approximately a meter right at the property line and continues to drop in grade as you enter the site. I would estimate another meter and a half. You can't build a road within 2 feet of property line and the buffer zone with this kind of topography change. Grading changes would be required well into the buffer zone and into private property. Condition 45 states that the buffer zone can overlay the right-of-way. This is not normal or a recommended practice. Buffer zones should be located outside of the right-of-way. However, the condition clearly states it's an overlap. It does not say that grading can be accommodated within the buffer, and in fact, condition 49 clearly states it will not be permitted. I will not sign a permission to enter in grade agreement allowing the developer to make negative changes to my property. If you look at any typical sections for roads, engineering standards and criteria, be it Transportation Association of Canada, Ontario Provincial Standards or Municipal Standards, roads are always shown in the center of the right-of-way. This is also the accepted engineering practice. To say that building a road within one half of a right-of-way would be uncommon is a stretch. I've never seen this done in 35 years of designing and constructing roads. It creates virtually no boulevard, 2 feet from property line to curb. It pushes traffic flow too close to the property line, causing concerns for both safety and noise. It creates insufficient sight lines, insufficient snow storage, and a much greater impact of salt damage to private property and the buffer block during winter operations, resulting in environmental impacts to the creek, as well as creating virtually no space for utilities to be constructed, which are always located in the boulevard. Significant disturbance of soil, vegetation, and trees would be required within the 15-meter buffer zone and private property in order to extend Frost Avenue and build a cul-de-sac. This must not be permitted. All of the information I presented proves that draft plan condition 49 cannot be met. I'd like to suggest three alternatives for access to Block 102. These options will lessen the negative impact on existing residents and the environment. Option 1, construct the driveway entrance from Ganaraska Road. Option 2, construct the driveway entrance from Street A. Or option 3, prohibit access to Block 102. Remembering the do no harm principle of engineering, these alternate access locations remove the impacts to existing residents who should not be negatively burdened to support development. Frost Avenue and Woodland Avenue are surface-treated local roads. They will not stand up to hauling and construction activities during site grading and building activity, nor should residents be impacted with the noise, dirt, and debris from construction on a quiet local road. By not extending Frost Avenue reduces the burden of future maintenance costs for the municipality and the taxpayers. Environmental impacts will be greatly reduced, saving trees and not disturbing soil and vegetation within the buffer zone of the creek or private property. Sorry. This overhead view shows Ganaraska Road through Garden Hill from Mill Street to just east of the church building. You can see there are a huge number of access points to the county road, both roadways and driveways, including an existing farm entrance, which you can see to block 102, which is highlighted in yellow. Benefits for option one, an access from Ganaraska Road. As noted, there are a number of access locations to the county road, and a precedence has been set recently with the addition of a new commercial access location for the Garden Hill Farmers Market. Ganaraska Road is better suited for construction access. It's an arterial road constructed to a much higher structural capacity and paved with hot mix asphalt as compared to the surface treated local roads. The negative impacts to local residents on Frost Avenue is discussed, as well as the environmental impacts to the buffer zone are removed with regard to an access from Frost Avenue. Emergency access to a large-scale site is improved, including response times and water supply concerns for fire suppression as compared to an access from Frost Avenue. A driveway entrance would be constructed and maintained by the developer, no taxpayer burden. Benefits for option two, an access from the proposed Street A. The negative impacts, again, for local residents on Frost Avenue is discussed, as well as the environmental impacts to the buffer zone is removed. With regard to the extension of Frost Avenue, removes any potential traffic concerns from having a new entrance onto Ganaraska Road. The construction of a new culvert over the creek would be required, but construction and environmental protection would be better managed when not restricted to 10-meter right-of-way. A driveway entrance would be constructed again and maintained by the developer so there's no taxpayer burden. Also, improved emergency response as compared to an access from Frost Avenue. The benefits of option three, no approved access. This option obviously removes the negative impacts to residents, properties, and the environment, would also reduce the impact of this development with regard to water safety and security in a rural hamlet without municipal services, as is a requirement of the Port Hope zoning bylaw. In conclusion, I realize that options two and three are not likely within your control, so I urge you to support option one, providing access to proposed block 102 from Ganaraska Road. Do no harm. Frost Avenue is not the right choice for access. In fact, it is the worst choice possible of all the options I've presented. It negatively impacts residents, properties, and the environment. It negatively impacts the municipality of Port Hope and its taxpayers. It would negatively impact new residents of the multi-unit residential site with a circuitous route and greater emergency response times. I appreciate the opportunity to present the concerns of my community and my family. Thank you for your patience as I went through my presentation. I realize that some of the information may be technical, and if there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you, Glenn. Committee members, council members, have any questions? Councillor Logo, please.
Thank you for the presentation, Glenn. My question is regarding Street A.
Yes.
Is it, can it be found on the map? Or did I just miss it, or?
It's probably not shown in the slides that I had. It is the proposed street that's coming off Ganaraska Road into the subdivision site that the developer will be building.
So is it, where was it in relation to 102 then?
It's on the west side of the creek.
West side.
West of the block 102, yeah.
Okay, thank you. I'll see if I can find that.
It's in the draft plan for the development, which I didn't have because I was trying to concentrate just on that one block and the access, but.
Any other questions from council or committee members? I have one. You mentioned res and multi-res. What specifically is proposed for 102 that we know of at this point in time? Multi-res?
Yes. They're proposing a 10 to 21 unit apartment building, multi-unit residential, on well and septic, which is, again, as I noted, it goes against the Port Hope zoning bylaw, which states that any multi-unit residential has to be on municipal water and sewer.
Thank you, Glenn. Just one more time, any other questions or comments? Councillor Martin.
Thank you. In your presentation, you talk about an Ontario Land Tribunal decision. Can you give us the background of that decision? Was that an appeal that you had launched or others had launched? How is that the context? You're citing Section 45 and 49 of the Ontario Land Tribunal decision. I'd like to know the context.
The municipality and the developer did not come to agreement for approval within the time frame allowed by the Planning Act. So the municipality and basically took the issue to the Ontario Land Tribunal regarding the ANSI on the site. It's kind of a complicated process, but basically the municipality, the developer lost the appeal. The municipality won. They ruled that the developer did not show that they would do no harm to the ANSI on the site. So they denied the appeal. But little did we know, or anyone know at the time, including the municipality, the developer had gone with a lobbyist to the Ford government and the Ministry of Natural Resources, and the Ministry of Natural Resources has removed the boundary of this site in particular from the ANSI designation, which allowed the developer to move forward. But the OLT requested conditions of draft plan approval be put forward to them for their approval based on them being involved in the process. So the Ontario Land Tribunal approved conditions that were put forward by the municipality and the developer. Hope that explains it, your question.
If I may adjunct then. So this is coming to the county because of the proposed access off County Road 9 or Ganaraska Road, as you say. Or is this an issue with the municipality? I'm not quite understanding where it all fits.
Well, there had been previous discussions, I think, between the county, the town, and the developer regarding an access location for Block 102 for the multi-unit residential. It was determined that Frost Avenue was the preferred access point to keep it off of Ganaraska Road. My appeal is to bring forward all of the negative aspects that Frost Avenue presents, that perhaps weren't all those points weren't thought of during the time when they were coming up with these conditions, and requesting that there be further consideration to put this access back on from Ganaraska Road or from the proposed street within the development, but not to use Frost Avenue.
Follow up. Any further questions from any other council member, committee member? I thank you, Mr. Deeth, and your associates for being with us today.
Thank you.
Making this presentation. I do have a prepared resolution, and it reads that the Public Works Committee received the delegation from Glenn Deeth, Garden Hill Neighborhood Group, regarding Garden Hill proposed Block 102 for information. And further, that the committee recommend that County Council receive this PowerPoint presentation for information. Do I have a mover and a seconder, please? Moved by Councillor Logo, seconded by Warden Crate. Any further questions or comments? All those in favor of the motion? Carried. Thank you.